This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hillier.
Repeat after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, when we look at this text, and this is our second lesson in this teaching, and we're teaching from the subject of handling times of trouble, strategies for handling times of trouble. What do I do? What do I need to do to handle the troubled times that come in my life? Of course, you don't have to, I don't think you really need any deep revelation on that. If you live long enough, trouble will come your way. Amen. Right? All right, just because I'm born again doesn't mean that I'm exempted from trouble, but I have the assurance that I go through trouble, God's going to help me through it. Amen? And so here in verse 13, he says, there is no temptation. Now, the word temptation is a very dynamic word, not necessarily meaning being tempted to sin, but it has the meaning of trial and test or trouble. So it says, there's no trouble or trial or test taken you but such as is common to man, which means you're not the only one facing what you're facing. You're not the only one going through what you're going through. So he says now, watch this. But God is faithful, who will not suffer. Word suffer could be better translated allow. So God will not allow you to be tempted or tried or tested above that you're able. So that means if you are going through something, God has already surveyed your situation, and he's always already surveyed your ability, and he is faithful to the point that he would not let you go through it if he did not know in advance that you could come out on top. Amen. Now, that's, y'all have to have a better amen than that. Have to better. No. It says, now God is faithful, who will not suffer, who will not allow you to be tried and tested above that you're able, but with the temptation, also make a way to escape. So that means that can be no problem for which God has not already established a solution. I'm reminded when Jesus got ready to feed the 5,000, the Bible says this he said to them, I think it's in John's gospel, but he himself already knew what he was going to do. He already knew what he was going to do. And in your situation, though you may not know right now, you've got to have the confidence that God already knows what he's going to do, how he's going to bring you out. Now look at your neighbor and tell him, God already knows how he's going to bring us out. Amen, amen. Now, in our last lesson together, all right, it was introduced on last week. Minister Terry ministered at the South location. Oh. And now who ministered at the North location? Dr. Arisha at the North location. All right. And so basically they established that, trouble is an obstacle for the abundant life. Also talked about the reality of trouble, but trouble does not cancel God helping us. Now go in Bibles to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, and it's a Bible study. So what are we doing with a Bible study? We study the Bible. So we're going to go through a lot of scripture. All right. There in Psalms 34, look what it says there, and we can take courage that we're coming out. Amen. All right. Psalms 34 and verse 19. Psalms 34, verse 19. Are you there? All right, it says what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what? But the Lord delivers them out of how many of them? We will come out of them all. And so in the last lesson, they talked about how trouble comes and why trouble comes, and then gave an overview of the 10-point strategy. Everybody say 10-point strategy. Yeah, the 10-point strategy for handling times of trouble. Now, what we're going to do, go to 1 John chapter 5. What we're going to do now is walk through several of those points. I won't get to probably about two or three of them tonight. And then, of course, we'll pick it up next time. And we'll just show you how to apply this 10-point strategy to get you through a troubled time. Now, the assurance we have is in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where we just saw in the Old Testament many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of how many of them, we found out? All right, and watch this. Verse 4 of 1 John chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God, watch this, what? Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what?
Faith.
Even our what?
Faith.
Our faith. So I understand Old Testament, New Testament, mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. It is the will of God for me to come out of my trouble.
Amen.
That's the will of God. Amen. Now, what we want to deal with tonight is we want to continue on establishing our right to victory. And then what we want to look at, elements of our regimen of victory, establishing our right. Because, see, the thing that happens if you're not established that you're supposed to come out of your trouble, trouble will throw you off. It'll throw you off mentally, throw you off spiritually, throw your relationship off. You follow me? And if you don't watch it, you know, you'll get mad at yourself.
Right.
Oh, my God. All right, watch this. The will of God does not automatically come to pass. Hunch the person that said, you got to get this. This is fundamental. The will of God does not automatically come to pass. Now, when I say that, as I'm teaching across the country, you know, people always, you know, kind of, you know, bristle up against me, bristle up when I make that statement, because most people don't hear what I just said. I didn't say God wasn't all powerful. I didn't say that he wasn't omniscient. I didn't say, you know, that he wasn't sovereign. But I did say his will does not automatically come to pass. So even though we just read that it is his will for us to be victorious, that will not automatically happen. All right, now watch this. You don't even have to be a Rhodes Scholar, or you don't have to be a theologian. All right, is it the will of God for everybody to be saved? All right, will everybody be saved? So his will could not be automatic. Now, that's a startling revelation, because a lot of people have this que sera, sera attitude. Well, if the Lord wanted it, then he's going to. No. The Lord won't show everybody saved, but everybody won't be saved, because they will not do what is required to receive the salvation that's freely given. Now, I'm taking you somewhere, because if the will of God is going to come to pass in your life, it will come to pass relative to the operation of your faith.
Right.
Now, go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. All right. Now, this is really fundamental with us New Life, but I got to go over it, you know, so that we won't leave anybody behind. All right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. Watch this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, here's the emphasis, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. We receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, even though it's talking about a specific promise. It is a universal principle. All the promises of God are received by
faith.
I get saved by
faith.
I get healed by
faith.
I get delivered by
faith.
I get filled by the hope with the Holy Spirit by
faith.
Right. So I'm going to get out of trouble relative to the operation of my
faith.
Good class. All right, now. But I got to get established in this. I got to be established in this. It's one thing to teach it now, and you can receive it now because you're not in trouble. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. See, you're not really in any big trouble. That sort of thing. Oh yeah, in Jesus' name, come out of trouble. Yeah, preacher. Yeah, okay. But now, when you get in trouble, do you question yourself? Do you question God? Do you question your ability to come out of it? Well, that determines whether or not you are really established in it. Everybody say established.
Established.
Yes, see, because when I'm established, I don't second guess what's going on.
I know that
I'm coming out.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Look at part A of verse 7. Proverbs 23, part A of verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. All right. So my thinking really determines my identity. My thinking really determines who I am, what I do. My thinking is important. So that is the area where you're attacked most, in your thought life. Because being established has to do with your mental focus as an individual. The management of your thought life and the management of your thought life and the monitoring of your thought life is what's going to determine whether or not you are really established. Amen? So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And they say, well, that ain't on my paper. Well, it may not be. Amen. Everything in the book, I got to be inspired when I teach it to you. Amen. I'm inspired. I didn't see that in the notes. Damn. All right, watch this. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's why you have to pay attention, see. All right, watch this. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Watch this. To the pulling down of strongholds. Underline strongholds. Check your neighbor, see if they got it underlined in their Bible. If they don't have it underlined, don't listen to nothing they say tonight. They don't. All right, watch this. Watch this. A stronghold is a mental thought pattern that keeps me from God's best. It's a mental thought. It's a way of thinking that is contrary to what God says. All right, watch this, he says. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at this class. And bringing into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, I am prone to think off. In the midst of a fight, in the midst of trouble, I am prone not to think like God wants me to think. So I got to understand, I got to monitor my thought life, because my thought life is the key to me being established in the Word of God and working toward the victory God wants me to have. Yeah. Amen, amen. I'm going to be established in my thought life based on the anchor of the Word of God, because my thought life should be in line with what God's Word says. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. Where do I get the knowledge of God from? From his word. I don't get it from my cousin. Don't get it from my auntie, my uncle, or anything like that. I'm going to get my knowledge of what God says, what God wants. I'll get it from his word. Now, watch this. From just his word, I understand, victory is supposed to be mine. All right? It's established at salvation. When the Bible says that if thou, Romans 10:9, you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. We understand already that the word saved is a dynamic word, means more than fire insurance, more than going to heaven, but it has to do with quality of life. Yes, heaven's included, but quality of life. Jesus says, I've come that you might have, and have it how? More abundantly. So I understand that. So my position in Christ, my position as a believer, qualifies me for the victory. Amen. Now, my victory is also established, not just because of salvation, but firmly established in Scripture. In Scripture. No weapon formed against me shall. So y'all already know that, but you got to be established in it. You can't let something blow you off path. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Just make a note of it. It says, thanks be to God who always calls us to triumph. Always calls us. Always. Everybody say always. Always. All right. Now, and he gives us the victory, and we got to be established in it. Now, go with me to the Bible. Let's look at another passage here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Any man notes? Anybody? All right. I told you. I got a whole lot of scriptures I'm going to give you. May not be in your notes. That's why I got a note writing section over in the side. And man, I tell you, you got to get that. Watch this. So important. Because what you need to know is, even though I'm established, I need to be reminded. That's right. Didn't get a lot of amens off of that one. Yeah, everybody say, even though I'm established, from time to time, somebody needs to remind me. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be, this is Peter writing, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. So even though I'm established, even though I understand the word of God, every now and then I need somebody to tell me about this. I need somebody to, I'm ready for with my Kool-Aid story. Any of y'all ever fix Kool-Aid in the hood? In the big pot? You put the sugar in there. That stuff settled to the bottom. If you taste it, it may not taste sweet. But if you stir it up from the bottom, changes the flavor, amen. Well, I'm stirring you up tonight. That's what tonight is about. Tonight is about stirring your faith up so that you can face the difficult situation that you're facing with the assurance of victory. Amen? With the assurance of victory. Now, your attitude is really will be a reflection of whether or not you are established.
Right.
Your attitude is going to be a reflection of whether or not you're established. And, you know, just to, you know, kind of be past y'all a little bit. You know, I told you last year, you know, New Life was going through some challenging times. Well, some pastor said, how you talk so openly like that? It's a part of life.
Amen.
I mean, the devil wouldn't be much of a devil if he didn't try to jump on New Life. All that we're doing all over the world, he wouldn't be much of a devil. That's what I tell people, why me? Well, why not you? The devil wouldn't be much of a devil if he left you alone. So but the question was, how do I talk so freely? Well, I talk freely about it because, you know, our situation was a result of the challenge of the times. It was a challenge of the times. There was no, you know, misappropriation or anything like that. The challenge of the times. And it wasn't just New Light. Churches all over the country. Amen. Now, it's just like, well, I'm the one church didn't. Well, that's just like people getting sick. Everybody don't get sick, but some folk do.
That's right.
And it's not fair to throw rocks at the person who's sick. You sick, bless God, what's wrong with you? You wouldn't do that. So at the same light, I told the pastors in our organization, because we got pastors all over the country, 1,000+ of them. And, you know, and I had to show them how to treat a brother when a brother's going through. Or sisters going through. I mean, you don't question their commitment to God. That's like after, that's like a person is going sick, and you go, "Well, what you do wrong? Why you sick? Mm-hmm. What? That's what Job's friend did to him, and then they get in trouble. Okay, so that's not what you do. So the point is, and really not talk openly about it, is because it was a challenge at the times. But I also believe the scripture, and the scripture that I read to you earlier. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man.
Yeah.
And listen, if we couldn't come through it victorious, it never would happen.
That's right. Amen.
And I got to tell you, we planning for ministry at a whole nother level. Everybody say a whole nother level. All right, now, let's see, where am I? Where am I time? Okay. Oh, y'all been a slow class. Okay, I'm supposed to get to 3 points tonight in this strategy. 3 points in this strategy, and I think I can get to all three. All right, first one is what I must do in the midst of my trouble. I got to get a vision beyond the trouble I'm facing. Everybody say vision? Beyond the trouble I'm facing. Now, that's difficult because most people can't dream when they're in trouble. They can't plan when they're in trouble. You got it? It's hard to plan in pain. Hard to see your future when you're frustrated. You follow me? But it is the key. Now go with me, Bibles, to Genesis chapter 13. That ain't on my paper. That ain't on my paper. Genesis chapter 13. All right? Watch this. Because me being able to see is important. All right? Verse 14, it says, and the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was departed from him, watch this, lift up now thine eyes and look from. Now, you ought to have that underlined in your Bible. I taught you that before. The word from, is it underlined in your Bible? All right. Well, if it's not underlined, underline it now. Because this is a very powerful principle. Look, verse 14. Did I tell you verse 14?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, y'all have to pay attention now. You're being real slow now. Okay, watch this. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was departed from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. Now watch this. Here's the key. He said now, look from where you are. Now most people look at where they are. And they get stuck with where they are. And they can't look from where they are to where they're going. And the key to making it through trouble is not letting trouble consume you to the point where you can't see past it. Things are not going to always be like they are. You may be unhappy today, but you're not going to always be unhappy. You may be broke today, but you ain't going to always be broke. You understand? So I've got to have the wherewithal to see beyond my present situation. Why? Where there is no vision, what happens? People perish. Got it? So I can understand, If I don't get some vision beyond where I am, I'm prone to perish.
That's right.
This thing is prone to overcome me, even though it's not the will of God for it to do so. All right? Now, Joshua chapter 1. Let's see if we can get an illustration of this. Joshua chapter 1. So even when God's talking to Joshua, he's talking to Joshua. He has not gone up against Jericho yet. Jericho was in his pathway, and now God speaks to him. What did I tell you, Joshua chapter 1? Did I tell you 1? Well, I'm in chapter 6, and I'm going to look at verse 1. So you go where you want to. I'm telling you where I am. I changed on you. All right. All right. It says, now Jericho was strictly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, watch this. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor.
That's right.
So now he hadn't given him a battle plan or anything. And God's telling him to see from where he is. He says, see. Everybody say, see.
See.
Now that's important. I got to be able to see myself out of my situation. Wish you had a better amen in that.
Amen.
I mean, this is such a powerful principle, and I see a lot of people, this is where some of the greatest visions and greatest insights I've gotten from God is when I was in trouble.
Amen.
Some greatest plans I've ever made was when I was in trouble, because God taught me years ago how to see beyond my situation. Amen, amen. I'm just saying, that's what I'm trying. I'm going to labor with this a little longer, because, you know, really, I got to get you to dreaming.
Amen.
And see, and most people have been, I mean, they've been so conditioned to look at what's going on around them and not be able to look from that place.
Amen,
amen, amen. Because now, if I look from that place, evidence of me looking from that place is what I'm going to be doing. Amen. If I'm looking to my future, I'm going to be planning my future.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I told you, you know, years ago, you know, Lady Bridget and I, we was going through our tough days. Man, we were looking at nice houses. Didn't have a down payment. I think one time we was behind on our note. And we was out looking at new houses. Well, what you looking at a new house? You can't pay for the house you got now. I'm looking from where I am.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not going to always be like this.
Yes.
I mean, I remember we was driving a raggedy car. You could hear me coming and see me, because I had some smoke, and I wouldn't dare park in your driveway because I didn't want to miss. I had my oil. I had to ride around with a case of oil. Wait a minute, not the good oil, but the refined oil. Any of y'all know what the refined oil is like? I said, I got a few brothers in there. Yeah, refined oil. You know, that's the cheap. That's the cheap, cheap. Well, I might well put the cheap, cheap in there, because it's gonna come right out. Okay. But now, we would go and look at fine automobiles. Now, the salesman, when he saw what we drove up in, he wouldn't even come out and talk to him. That's all right. That's all right. I didn't cut up or nothing like that. But see, I'm looking from where I am. Are y'all getting this? Amen. I'm looking at magazines of nice places to go to in the world. Man, I ain't got enough money to drive to Galveston. But I'm looking, y'all getting this? I'm looking from. I'm telling you, it will change your attitude. It will change it, because now, watch this, hope comes in. And faith is the substance of things, hope, the evidence of things. My God. Am I stirring up some dreamers in the house? Amen, amen, amen. All right. I think I made the point. All right, now, let's see if I can go to my next point. All right. Go to Psalms 50 now, because I've got to choose to value, in the midst of my trouble, value the benefits of my relationship with God. My relationship with God comes with benefits. Everybody say benefits. Ooh, yes, it comes with benefits. And that's the good part. Now, we already read it out of Psalms, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I have some benefits. I got some benefits other than just going to heaven. Thank God I'm going to heaven. Amen. But ain't nobody making up the train to go tonight. All right. Now, and obviously, he wants us to have a good life, because Jesus says, I've come that you might have
life.
And have it how?
More abundantly.
More abundantly. So, I mean, he wants us to have quality of life. That's what he wants us to have. And that's part of my benefit package. All right, watch this in verse 15. He says, call on me in the day of trouble, and I might deliver you. Huh? Do you see this class? I will what? Deliver thee, and thou shalt what? Glorify me. That's one of my benefits. I have an assurance from God that in my day of trouble, he's made a commitment, not that he might deliver me, but he what? Can I get a witness in this house? Amen, amen. And every now and then, you got to encourage yourself by looking at the scripture and understanding you're not in the fight by yourself. See, you're not in the, if you're in the fight by yourself and you've depleted all your resources, all your know-how, then what future do you have? But when I understand I am not in this by myself. Oh. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, now watch this. Here's my benefits. I have the benefit of his ability. Oh. Everybody say his ability. Oh, yeah. That's a game changer. That's a game changing thought when I understand it's not just about my ability, but I got his ability. All right, what's that? Ephesians 3:20. Now, what do y'all, what does that say? Y'all remember that one? What's that? He's able to do what? Abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to the power that works in me. All right, Philippians 4:19. My God is. Okay, let's go to 4:19. Let's go to scripture. Find it. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. What I'm trying to get you to see is he comes on the scene and he brings resources that you don't have. Favor that you couldn't get by yourself. Doors open that you can't open yourself. That is the hope that I have, because he made the commitment that in my day of trouble, if I will call on him, he will show up and he will come to my rescue. Ooh, I love that. Amen, amen. Anybody going through any trouble tonight? Need God in there, all right? I'm just reassuring you, amen. Amen. And it ain't no shame that you're going through some trouble. I mean, Job said, a man born of a woman's of a few days and what? Full of trouble. Said, you didn't have to tip. Somebody said, you didn't have to give me no scripture, Pastor. I already know that. I don't need no scripture on that. I know that, amen. All right. Now, not only do I have his ability, but I have his authority. Everybody say authority. Yeah, his authority. So the scripture says, let's go to Luke chapter 10. I have the benefit of his ability in my fight. I have the benefit also of delegated authority. Divine ability, delegated authority. Everybody say delegated authority. Yes, indeed. Delegated authority. So really, when you want to know the truth, the devil is afraid of you. When you know who you are. No, we don't have Hollywood theology. We got scripture theology. All right. Verse 17 says, and the seven returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. That's words of authority. To tread on serpents and scorpions, alias names of the devil. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means, tell the person next to you, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, so you need to understand that if you're a blood-bought believer, when you look at this and in the middle of your fight, the middle of your, the devil's been telling you, I'm going to take you out. And nothing shall by any enemies what? I'm telling you, when that plane was falling out the sky, you know, was 43,000 feet and lost both engines, the plane is falling. I'm serious, y'all. Total blackout. The plane is falling out the sky. And the devil tells me, I'm going to kill you. Oh, no. No, and nothing. Oh, yeah. No, that's when you got to be established. No, that's when you got to be established. When you're in a life-threatening situation. I said, oh, no, I ain't dying tonight. Because I believe this word. When you're establishing this, and I'm getting too loud. and you get a bad report, that's the time you stand up on the inside and say, No. I have been given authority in this situation. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. All right. I got to close it out. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, and I'll close out. That's why you ought to get the notes, see? You get the notes, so when I close out and you don't get the rest of it, you got your notes, and you can just go on and read your notes and get the rest of it. Because if you read your notes, you'll understand my next point is I must choose victorious believers to teach me overcoming faith principles. In my fight, I need a good mentor. I need a good coach. I need somebody who's been through the fight, who can help me through the fight. That's why it's good to be in a good church. I need to rub shoulders with folk who've come through. Amen, amen. I need to see the testimonies of others who've been where I have, where I am right now, and look at them. They don't even look like they've been through nothing. Ooh, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. I'm wrapping it up, y'all. Boy, I tell you, I'm wrapping it up. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Yes, indeed. All right, baby. What's wrong with the baby? Huh? All right. You all right? Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, you know her situation. And God, even though she didn't verbalize it, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you deliver her. You come to her rescue now. Satan, take your hands off of her and her life and her property in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord. See, when you're in a good church that loves you, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Give my ushers to help her and sister. Yes, go and help her. Yes. Praise the Lord. Y'all in agreement for her victory? That's why praying in the Spirit is so important, because you don't have to know her situation. She felt led of the Lord, amen, to come. I felt led of the Lord to pray, and the rest is history. And we thank God for the good report. Hebrews 6 and 12, as I wrap this thing up, y'all. Watch this. It says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, what? Inherit the promises. I need somebody who understands the faith fight to coach me. To understand who understands the faith fight to be with me. To mentor me. To guide me through. And the Bible says, listen, we follow those who through faith. And that word follow means we imitate. Not their personality, but how they apply the word. That's why being in a good church is important. A good church will challenge you, change you, correct you, and care for you. Hallelujah. Let me close now. Now, y'all, I told y'all years ago about how when I went to University of Texas in Austin, I had an inferior education in high school in English. And so I go there and, the first test in English, the lady said we could turn in, the teacher said we could turn in anything we want to turn in. So I turned in one of my A grades from high school. I mean, that's what y'all to do. You understand? This is a free grade. So in the next class period, she comes and says, well, we're going to have a wonderful class because we had only one failing grade in the whole class. Man, I'm caught up in myself that these must be some dumb people in this place. They got to be some dumb people. How you going to fail on a free one, you understand? So, she had her assistant pass out all the papers. And when they got to me, I saw the red on the paper. So I got it. I was the one with the F. I turned it down. Turn the paper down. Then, I'm getting mad because, I'm the only black guy in the class, you understand? This is back in the 70s. I got my dashiki on. My fro is freshly blown. Freshly blown fro. You understand? Freshly blown fro. Afro. I'm sitting in class with my cheetahs on, with my shades on. But I got the F. So now you know what is she prejudice? That's what it is. She prejudice. So I can't wait till class is over so I can go read her the riot act. How dare you give me? doctor because I got an A on this in high school. How dare you do this to me? So, you know, I wait till the class clear. You follow me? And then I made my approach. Fresh blown afro. Leather print. Dashiki on. Dark shades, my cheetahs. Oh, everything in place. And I'm walking down there to talk to her. Threw the paper on the desk. Like, oh, what you mean by this? So I got an A on that in high school. So what you mean by this? She laughed at me and said, well, are you some cartoon? So let me tell you something, young man. If they gave you an A on that, they did you a disservice. Now you look at it and you'll see. Whoever taught, you got an inferior education. Now if you want help, I'll help you. But here, you are the number. You paid to come here. Now if you want help, I'll help you. But all of this, don't come up to me like that. Thought about my mama at the Holiday Inn cleaning toilets so I could be in school. And my daddy taking pictures late at night to supplement the scholarship that I had. I humbled myself, took off my sheets, took off my cheetahs, my shades. And I sat down and told her I was willing to learn. Watch this. So she began to mentor me. She brought me a whole nother set of books. She said, you're going to have to do double work. She began to mentor me. Some of the tests, when the test came, I didn't pass the test the first time. She said, that's all right, I'll give you a second time. Amen. Got it? But before the second time, we would go over everything, you understand? I mean, she spent time with me. You got it? And that was something about taking the test a second time. Something about when you've been through something before and maybe it didn't work out so well, but you're going through it a second time. Something about that second. I walked in the classroom with a little, you know, with a swagger because I've been mentored. I've gone over the principles. I'm ready. Come on, bring the test on. That's like the disciples did. The Bible says the first time Jesus told them to go over to the other side, they flunked the test. Because when the storm came up, the Bible says they went to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, those guys panicked. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves and told them, you could have done the same thing. But another test came. Later on in the ministry, he told them to go to the other side. And the Bible says they were rowing and the storm came up. And when the storm came up this time, they ready for the test. Jesus says, we're going to the other side. It doesn't matter what it looked like. We're going to keep on rowing because he said, we are going to the other side. And the Bible says, later on in the night, here comes Jesus walking on the water. He will show up. Oh, my God, my God. I'm telling you, you may have flunked the test before, but this time, you're going to remain consistent in your prayer life, consistent in your giving, consistent in your serving, and you will watch, he will show up. I'm out of time.